Customers generally know what they want at the end of the day, so sometimes they'll come in and they know that they, you know, I just want the space to get my stuff and leave it, and that's it. And then you get the other people that want the whole lifestyle, holistic kind of package.
Hello, welcome back to the Commercial Property Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Jerry Alexander, and today I'm joined by Megan Brown. Hi, Megan.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Megan. Thanks for coming out from behind the scenes and joining me on the podcast today. For those of you that haven't met Megan before, Megan has been working with us for 5 years.
Yeah, coming up.
Yep. And Megan does all the work in CPI and helps with the podcast and all of our support that we give our members in the community and also a lot of their social. What don't you do, Megan?
I was going to say, you've really painted a good scene there. Thanks.
What don't you do? For those that you know that know you and I, you do most of it, right?
Not all of it.
So what we thought we'd do is talk about co-working and shared space. So yep. Rather than, let's just set that confusion thing out of the way first off. So when we refer to co-working, for us, co-working is shared space, right?
Yeah, open plan, shared space.
Yeah, and we've got, in this building we're in, we're up in Dundee, we've got about 2,500 square foot of shared space, which is across a couple of different floors, and about 14,000 square foot gross for the whole building. So it's, we're working out, it's about 18% or something of the floor plate, right? So just to give people a context. And we just thought we'd go through some of the things we've learned in the last 3-4 years, 5 years, in fact. Yeah. Sorry.
I was going to say, add years. A few more on.
That we've been running that kind of stuff here and some of the lessons we've learned. Because co-working itself, when people discuss it, are often talking about just shared space, right? But some others talk about shared space with offices, which is really what we have in this building.
Yeah.
But I think if we try and concentrate on the shared space and the membership stuff, right? So when you first joined us, did we have members? Is that how we describe it? I think we did.
Yeah, we did describe them as members, but we had a clear distinction between members, what, like, that was specifically for co-working.
That's right.
What we saw that as, and then we referred to them as customers for everybody else.
Yes,
that was
in their
office
offices. Yes. Yeah, so then we changed our language a bit, probably not too long after you, or was that, no, maybe it was actually a wee while after.
It was maybe about a year or two in, we started trying to refer to everyone as members.
Across the whole mill, yeah. So in the space that we're in right now, which is the business lounge, maybe you could just tell us, what are the mix of memberships we do for here, or the types of people that use this space?
Types of people. So we've got, there's a massive mix throughout the whole building, but in this business lounge, we've got someone that works for New York Tourism, we've got authors, people that do marketing. Occasionally I'll overhear someone hosting a webinar or something. So there's lots of different activity going on in the background, either individuals that work for themselves, freelance, or for larger companies. So there's a good mixed bag in there.
Yeah, so when there's viewings going on, 5 years ago, most people that came in would probably be paying the bill at some point. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, and I think particularly with business lounge stuff, a lot of it's paid for by HR department.
Yeah,
others.
It's generally now sitting outside of that individual. So it used to be they would come in and they would make the decision on the spot. We do still have quite a bit of that, but I would definitely say the percentage is now weighing more so into the company actually paying for it, because a lot of people, especially since COVID, have started to get allocated a certain amount of credit by their company to use towards workspace. So that tends to come to these memberships.
Yeah, I was looking at our numbers yesterday, and definitely this month, February, is our best numbers. Mm-hmm. Just incrementally increasing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just back to the memberships though, the different types of memberships we offer here. We've got part-time. Do you want to maybe go through the different types of customers, not necessarily their professions, but the types of uses that they have for this space?
Yeah, so we do part-time, which is a lot more of like a flexible membership. So it's for someone that is really just looking for a touch point, either to get themselves out of the house, basically, or to be able to interact with other people. So sometimes that person might travel quite a lot as well. So they're actually not necessarily in the city for that long. So they just want to have a base that they can come to, you know, one day a week, maybe even less than that. So that works quite well for that type of person. And then we've got full-time membership where they can come in as often as they want and use the space. And they generally are, you know, they're looking for more of the concentrated space to get away from their kids, or just gonna throw that away. to get away from their kids, their family, have a space outside the house, or generally to meet other people. That's one of the big draws, I would say, to this building, is we've been working a lot on the community side of things. Yeah. So they've maybe been working in a large office previously, maybe traveling to London or Edinburgh, a bigger city, and now their company's decided to get rid of that office and they're looking for, you know, to fill that gap and the people that used to be around them. So that's kind of the main sort of types of people we're getting
in. So we've got part-time, full-time, and some, it's also available for everybody else though, isn't it, in the mill? We've got...
Yeah. So all of our, we've got all of our private offices. There's about 33 private offices in the building as well. And everyone that occupies an office can have full access to this space as well. So they can meet some of their customers down here, use it as a breakout space if they've got, you know, different calls and things going on in their office.
I mean, just anecdotally, right, because we don't know the numbers exactly, but for those that are full-time, what would you say they're generally coming in for? Is there any that you can think of that come in 5 days a week? Or are they maybe 3 days a week? What is their usage?
There's probably, it's more so recently, people have been coming in a lot more often for the full time, but it's still probably less than half that actually utilise it 5 days a week.
And the part-time guys?
It's a bit like a gym membership. It's nice to have that they've got it. Yeah. Sometimes they'll turn up more often than they're supposed to and we'll do a bit of an upsell. But I would say that there's quite a lot of them that they'll come in, they'll maybe come in quite consistently for a little while and then they'll disappear and then they'll come back again. So it's I think that's quite a difficult one to, I guess,
what's
the
our split
of the flexible.
Between like, sorry, what's our split between like part-time, full-time, half and half? Or
it's half and half at the moment, so we're equal numbers for that. Okay. Which has changed quite a lot. Mm-hmm. It used to be that we would have double the part-time to full-time, whereas now that's balanced out again.
Okay. And those that are coming in, what type of space are they using? Because we have got different, you know, we've got obviously desks in here, we've got phone booth, there's some meeting rooms, there's some relaxy seats. What's the kind of thing that most people are coming in for, or is it totally changed?
It varies. They definitely want to have a good workstation. That's one of the things we get asked quite a lot, because it's that, you know, what's the difference between sitting in here in a coffee shop?
Yeah.
And that's one of it. But the two big things that people are coming in for at the moment are monitors. So we've got some monitors set up.
Right.
They've been a big hit with the members and they're generally used on a daily basis, and the phone booth as well. So it's that having that ability to be part of the bigger space, but also when they want to have complete quiet or have a confidential conversation with someone on the phone, they can nip into that booth and have that without anyone disrupting them.
This space has evolved, we didn't have a phone booth.
Yes.
We didn't have meeting rooms. How much has that influenced customers and take up and I guess stickiness, people staying around?
I would say it makes a big difference, and it's for two reasons. Is one is it's so much easier for us to sell, because we can advertise these as benefits of being in the space, so you get more of an energy from us actually trying to sell the product.
Yeah.
rather than trying to, you know,
more belief in your product. Right?
Yeah. Okay. but then I guess the other side of that is that it's nice to have. People like the luxury of having something like that.
Yep.
Sometimes people will come in and they'll have, you know, I must have a meeting room, I must have phone booth, private space, all of this stuff. But how often they use it is another story. But
point,
it's a nice to have in the space. And quite often when you're doing viewings and people are coming in, they're seeing people actively using them, they're like, oh, I'm going to use that at some point. And it almost makes the sale for you a little bit.
Yeah. So as, and I want to talk about stickiness, but we'll maybe come back to that just in terms of people staying around. But you mentioned there about coffee shop, shared space, differences, and the type of workstation and ability to have a private call. What else would you say is different for those that are listening and thinking? Let me take a moment to thank Office R&D for supporting the podcast. It's really important to us that we only work with sponsors that we've used ourselves. It's all about being authentic, right? Office R&D is the best flexible workspace platform we've come across, and believe me, we've tried a few systems over the last 20 years. Office R&D helps us manage our invoicing, customer community, reporting, building access, and many more aspects of our day-to-day operations. Why not book yourself a free demo
to see how they can help you free up more time to grow your business. Follow the partner link in the show notes.
About doing that kind of mix, or indeed they're thinking, well, I maybe could do this, but I might put some food and bev in. You know, what would you say is the differences really?
I mean, the biggest difference when somebody asks me that question as a customer is that what you're looking
at? Yeah.
When someone asks me that as a customer is internet first and foremost. So we've got a gigabit line coming into this building, but generally if you're working in a coffee shop in comparison to a co-working space, you're going to have much better connection, speed and security as well. And then second to that is the atmosphere. They are very different work environments. Step into a coffee shop and you might have kids in the background. It's a lot more hustle and bustle. Come into a space like this, everyone's here for the same objective at the end of the day. Everyone's here to work, and everyone has a bit of a competitive nature. You see other people working around you, you naturally will try and work as well. Whereas if you're in a coffee shop, there is obviously a social element here, but you're more likely to get distracted and not actually get on with what you're doing. So it's a completely different working environment, I would say. And they're probably the two biggest ones when someone comes in and asks that internet environment. Obviously, the station that you're sitting at, you can have soft seating in a co-working space, but I would say that we have less of our members that actually use that as a space to sit down and work for the day. It's more, you know, they're wanting a break from the screen or they're meeting to have a conversation with someone.
Or hijack it and do a podcast.
Or doing a podcast, yeah.
Do you think that covers enough for listeners about setting the kind of scene for what we do here?
Yeah, I think so. It's that mix of everything. We've got private offices, we've got the co-working space, we've got our members and the different communities and the stuff that we're offering to them. So I think so.
Okay, so let's move on to that stickiness thing. So before having this type of space, our buildings were just private spaces. There might have been a reception of some kind and somewhere like a tea point, communal tea points. But actually now, particularly through this building, we've experimented and tried different things, right? So we've got this business lounge here on the ground floor, but we also have a couple of other spaces in the building that we're sort of bleeding into kind of that shared thing, isn't it? But originally we had all of our shared stuff together. And it'd be interesting because some people listening to this who are really into co-working will have a lot more experience than us. But our experience of sharing both fixed desk, which we haven't spoken about yet, part-time and full-time memberships all in the same space, didn't really work so well for us, did it?
Yeah, I mean, we had a bit of a difficult time with that at the start because, one, co-working wasn't a huge thing in Dundee and we were trying to do a bit of education on that. So we're trying to have that, you know, coffee shop or co-working conversation with people that are coming through the door. And then those two different membership types attract two different people, we've found anyway, and that might just be local to this area, but generally speaking, we found that people that were coming in for a fixed desk wanted a bit of a quieter space, and those that were coming in for the more flexible sort of hot desking, they wanted the background noise and they wanted the social element of it, and having them both together actually caused a little bit of friction. And it's also quite difficult to separate, you know, this is your desk and this is a free zone, and actually making a clear distinction between those two offerings.
Somebody's paying for that, you can't sit there. It's difficult, isn't it?
So it's actually quite hard to sell them side by side because people don't tend to see the value as much of the dedicated desk because it's in the same space as the more flexy stuff. So it was quite a hard sell when they're right next to one another.
And we've also managed to differentiate because the fixed desks are in a different area, which means they can be 24-hour access, whereas the business lounge restricts to 9 to 5. But then it allows you to upsell, doesn't it?
Yeah. And that was one of the things before, when they were both in the same space, we still had that, you know, this one's 24 hours and this one's 9 to 5. But it means that you've got to try and monitor that, which is a lot harder if you're not locking the door at the end of the day and you're relying either on technology or people to kick them out.
Yes.
So that did make quite a big difference in that.
I mean, we've been kind of lucky in the unique form of the building. However, if it had all been on one giant ground floor or private office and everything else, you'd probably still have them in the same space, but you'd use a lot of clever design to try and say, right, that area over there is trying fixed.
To zone it as much as possible, so that it looks, I guess, you know, this is a premium product and this is not as such. And it's trying to say that in a nice way. But it's trying to make that clear distinction between them. This is a zone that is, you know, for people that get 24-hour access, they maybe have some more premium spec coffee or whatever it is that you're trying to give more value to that membership and make it really apparent visually, as well as, you know, how you actually operate that on a day-to-day basis.
So let's come back to stickiness. Stickiness being getting customers to hang around for longer than they maybe wanted to. And it's best to go through that distinction again between private offices and business lounge. Business lounge members, the stickiness, we'll come on to about how to make sure that customers feel welcome and they want to stay. But equally, having those shared spaces means, and the activities that go on, means that those in offices also want to hang around. So what are some of the things we've been doing here and trying to do more of? Because we're not perfect, right?
Well, one of it was, as you're saying, is introduce more breakout space so that people that are in private offices, you know, they maybe have enough space in there for their desks. It's a four-person space. They've got the space for that. But that doesn't necessarily mean they've got the room to breathe for other activities that they're wanting to do in their work life. So introducing more breakout space definitely means they can use the phone booth that we've got on the ground floor. They can interact with some other people. But what we were trying, or still are trying to do, is create a sense of community in the building as well, so that you're not isolated to a room and you actually feel like you're part of a bigger thing. So we do events that we'll host monthly just for our members.
That's where all that pink fizz came from.
That is where all that pink fizz came from, yeah. Don't know why it's pink, though. It just so
I think it was the leftovers.
Note to self, don't buy any more pink.
Not if you're leaving it for me to scavenge.
So we will host events like that, and some of them will be social, some of them will be more business orientated or networking based, but it's just an opportunity for us to get to know the members, but also to break the ice for them between one another, so that they're not walking past one another on the stairs and just ignoring, because they've actually been introduced to something that, you know, a wine and cheese night, for example. They know their name and they maybe know a little bit about them, so they can ask a question about, you know, how's your dog doing, or how's that project that you told me about. And it just helps a little bit to make them feel like they're part of something, so that when they're leaving they feel a bit more sad about it.
Yes.
And hopefully they don't and they come back to us. But that's one of the big things I would say, is we've got the shared space, but the community is 100% the thing that we've been focusing a lot on to try and keep people around. And with that obviously comes with having a staff member on site. That's not for every building, but for us that's integral to keeping that community, introducing people and making them feel, you know, there's someone that smiles and says hello to them every time they walk through the door. One thing that we've more recently started doing is interacting with the wider business community as well. So we don't have a food and bev offering on site, but what we've started doing is trying to partner with some of the local businesses around about us as well. So we've got different coffee shops, wine bar that you visited the other night, Jerry. and a few, we've got a barber that's involved in it. There's lots of different businesses that are within a walking distance from the building that have partnered with us to offer a discount to our members. So it gives them that little bit extra stickiness, like you say. But it also means that we're interacting with some of the local businesses and we're trying to, you know, support everything that's happening around about this area.
How many members do we have?
We've got over 100 members in the building now. They come and go. Some of them aren't permanently based here, but that's kind of roughly the numbers.
Yeah, so
that we've got.
It's not insignificant. It's not huge, but it's not insignificant for local businesses as an you know, as a draw.
And because a lot of people, they will go out for their lunch and grab a coffee and meet with people off site as well. So it is it's quite a helpful thing to just make sure that they know that we exist and they exist, so we can refer to one another.
Looking forward, we've got this. We've got the community thing going on. It's allowed us to create, and maybe we should just touch on marketing for a second around community. It allows us to showcase what's going on in the building, but also showcase what customers are doing, so that those looking in feel a bit more, I mean, maybe you wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've kind of said it a bit there, our strategy with this building is to do an outside looking in approach, basically, so that people,
it's my
you know, they stealing my phrase. So the people get a little bit FOMO almost. So they're you know, they're seeing what's going on and they want to be part of it.
Yeah.
I said earlier today, I don't particularly see this job as doing sales in any kind of way. It's more about the relationship building. So that's what we try and approach the marketing for it as well. So that it's, you know, we don't have, here's our membership and here's our office space. It's look at this building and everything that's happening in it. Look at the events that we're doing and, you know, look at what our members are getting up to and doing a bit more of a shout out for them.
Yeah. And that, and you know, there's that tricky thing between, again, we mentioned this earlier on about getting a bit too cocky, mm-hmm. but equally having a good premium product that you can charge appropriate for.
Yeah.
And as the product additions and value's gone up, it means we can respectfully accept higher membership fees, right?
What a polite way of putting it.
But it does though, doesn't it? Because you're constant, you know, we're constantly testing here and pushing and trying to see where the market level is. And we still don't really know.
Yeah,
do we?
I mean, it's like I said earlier, because co-working wasn't really a big thing in Dundee, we've had the luxury of sort of taking our time with it a little bit, yes. but also trying to educate people around it, experiment with our own model and with our own pricing. But it also meant that we didn't really have a ballpark figure to go against. So what we've obviously done over the years is have conversations about how we can add value. So that's anytime we look at the product that we're offering, it's always on what's next, what's yeah. next. And with that obviously comes with an increase in price for memberships as well,
yeah.
which naturally happens when the product gets sure. better and better.
Sure, exactly. Having a business lounge and shared space and co-working, when you've got a mix of offices, and our proportion here, as we said, is maybe 80% offices, leads one to think, well, does it act as a bit of an incubator? So, I mean, has there been many instances where persons maybe come in and look for an office, they've decided, well, we haven't got any, so they've maybe moved into the business lounge to start with, and then when an office has become available, they've moved into that office? Or have they come into the business lounge and then decided at some point, oh, do you know what, I need my own private office?
Yeah, I mean, we do both of those scenarios, to mm-hmm. be entirely honest. It's a really good way of trying to just keep people in the loop, because we take that approach of join the community and join the building. Quite often we'll have a waiting list for a space, which is a fantastic position to be in. But we don't just want to show someone an office space, say we don't have any, and we'll put you on the waiting list and just get in touch yeah. with them in 6 months' time. So we'll always offer that as an opportunity. You know, come into the business lounge, you can hang around, you can still come to our events, and we can get to know you. And as soon as an office is available, you're kind of on the front line to be able to be notified about that. So we do that quite often. But I would say more so we have people that start in the business lounge and they work their way up between this to a fixed desk up to a private
unit.
Office. And then
yep.
they just kind of grow from there. And that's what's really nice about this model, is that most of our customers, once we've got them in the door and we can add that stickiness to them, if their business grows, they want to grow within this building. And it's nice, sad as it is, to see people outgrow us as well.
Sure, yeah. There's been quite a few examples of that, hasn't there, over the years, that companies that have been really successful and then eventually they move out, and I guess that's our job done, right?
Yeah.
And once they've left, you hope that it's all on great terms and they recommend you and on it goes. With the members that come in to the business lounge that don't take an office, how long do they tend to stay around?
I'd love to give you an average for that. I need to pick a number out for you, but it ranges quite a lot, to be honest. Mm-hmm. We've had some members that have been with us since I started, so
wow.
5 years coming up.
Okay.
And we have other members that come in for a day, so
Oh yeah, we need to talk about day passes, right, okay. Yeah.
That was my reminder to you.
Yeah.
So we do have people that come in on a daily basis, but if someone signs up for a membership, at the moment we're generally holding on to them for about 12 months, if not longer, which is,
That's quite unusual. That's pretty good, I think, yeah.
But we do still have maybe about, I'd say that's maybe about half of them. The other half tend to drop in and out, and they maybe leave us for a bit and they come back, and our numbers kind of fluctuate, I would say.
Yeah, we've got some great funny stories for that, yeah. about people that come in, stay with us for ages, eventually they're like, oh no, I need to go home or I need to go and do something else, and then they come back.
Yeah. We actually had one recently that he had an office with us. I think he moved to about three different offices in the building,
yes.
and then he left to go work from home for a little while, and signed up to the Business Lounge again. Maybe a week later.
I think it was a week.
I'll just take another office. Go on, guys. So there he is, back in his office. Still with us now.
In the fourth office.
Yeah.
It's great though, isn't it? I mean, and there's some real characters when you're, especially when they're with you for longer and you get to know them more. Mm-hmm. And you were talking earlier on, give people context, we were doing some mastermind earlier on, but we were talking about doing viewings and the fact that when you've got members that have been around for a while, they almost join in.
Oh, yeah. Which I love, actually, because it makes your job so much easier. But yeah, we'll occasionally just be walking around the building and I'll maybe mention if I'm next to someone, oh, and we have people that do such and such a job, and they'll just chime up for us and start joining in. Or I'll mention something about an event and someone will be like, oh yeah, I was at the barbecue this summer and it was great. So because we've created that sort of warm, friendly environment and, you know, we know our customers really, really well, they want to interact and almost be our advocates for us, which is, you know, I'm not going to say no to that. They can do that anytime they want. And it just really shows the people that are coming into us that they're going to get looked after. Yeah. And, you know, we're not making up what we're saying. We do try with our product and yeah, hopefully they'll enjoy it just as much as the people that they're meeting on the day they come in.
I'm going to come back to Tate Passes because it's popped back in my head. But we've been, I guess, fortunate in that we've had this petri dish here for 5 years that we've experimented and we haven't had necessarily pressures from competition right next door, so mm-hmm, we've been able to evolve and see what's going on, or should I say we haven't had competition challenging us. If we were to do this again, and I'm thinking more about people that are listening to this and maybe just got a building or thinking about buying a building and doing this kind of model, you know, what kind of time period can you condense that down to? Because it's taken us 5 years to evolve to this apparent utopia, right? to being in a good place. Mm-hmm. But if we were to go back with the lessons we've learned, start again, what do you think that time frame would be? Because the whole thing about getting started, filling a building, then starting to improve the offer, then improving the offer again, switching out stuff that doesn't work, putting in new stuff, da-da-da-da-da, all those lessons that have been during that time. I mean, what do you think? 2 years?
I would probably say two. I think you need to give yourself enough time to go, to have held people on for longer than a year.
Yep.
And you'll probably also need to let go of some people as well while sure, you're kind of going through that process. And it'll give you the opportunity to kind of figure out, you know, what price is it that you're doing your memberships at? What events are you wanting yep, to do? What niche of the market you're maybe targeting as well? But I do think, I'd probably say about 2 years for that, because it does take time to build up the rapport with your customers and make a sort of stamp in your local area, because that's probably yes, one of the big things yep, is making sure that you people know where you are and what it is that you do and that they understand what co-working is. That's probably one of the biggest barriers yes, if you're going somewhere new, and that can take a little bit of time just to get people on board with what it is that you're doing. And once they're there, that's fantastic and they'll start advocating, but you do need to do a little bit of work.
Yeah, so there's certain stuff you can't short circuit.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you could get the whole a fantastic building, all bells and whistles, but I think the actual fundamental of educating about what your membership's getting, the right price and the right offer, is really...
And building a community with,
yeah,
the last, with
that's
relationships
what it comes down
that are
to at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how nice your building is and how flashy it is. I mean, like, that's realistic at the end
of
the day.
We've got a nice building, a bit
we
flashy.
We do have a lovely building. But, you could put all
sometimes the lights are flashing, but not on purpose, right?
It's actually one on the third floor I need to change.
Right, let's go back to day passes, because it was a bit of income we didn't talk about. Mm-hmm. And initially, we had this situation where we had a space that was co-working, fixed desks, everything all thrown into the one space. And at the time, I don't think we really did day pass. I'm not even sure the technology really allowed you to do that. But now it seems to be becoming, well, in a week, maybe you should talk through a day pass. What from a technology point of view, what's our experience with day passes?
So I think if we go way back, I don't really think, one, we were never really asked for them. And I don't think we would have really understood how to sell. Understood?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
right. I didn't have the tech there really to make, because now it's a really smooth process, right?
Yeah, because I mean, if you were to ask me 5 years ago, I'd be like, how do I take a payment from them? I don't have a coffee machine on site. All of that, like, what do I do when they just rock up and say, hi, I'm here to use your space? I probably would have been a bit like, oh, okay. Whereas we've got it set up now that someone can sign on to that easily online. We've got their internet set up. We've got a sort of a predetermined password that we'll give people for day passes. And we get a notification to say that someone's paid for that online and they're coming in on whatever day that they're coming in on. And we basically just need to say hello when they walk through the door and make sure that they know where the facilities are and how to use them, basically, how to get on the internet. And that's as simple as it is.
It's amazing that, you can come in at 8:30 in the morning or something and there's an email that's saying, oh, by the way, there's another two people joining you today who paid for it last night at 11 o'clock when they thought, I need to go somewhere and work.
Uh-huh. And you've never interacted with them before as well, which is also really interesting, because before, every customer that walked through our door, we'd had a conversation with them beforehand, whereas that's a complete fresh face that we've never even had to say a word to, and they've purchased something with us, which is
and you know, we could probably do a whole episode on day passes, right? Because there's different platforms that do these now. There's people that will buy 3 or 4, but then they'll just use them throughout a period, you know. And some, of course, the same thing where the head office pays for it, and there's legions of people out there for large companies that will go on platforms on the internet, maybe one that's specific to their business that they use, to say, right, I'm going to be in Edinburgh on Thursday, what can I use? They go on the platform, the business pays for it because it's already set up with the finances, and they just turn up and on you go, which is...
I mean, there's a good few of that. I mean, we actually had two this week from Hubble, was one that we were listed with, but there's Hubble, there's Upflex, there's Desana, and they're kind of big names in the industry for that as well. So it's a really good opportunity if you are trying to become, you know, known for co-working and flex space in your local area, to get listed on them. Because I can say for certain that when we first listed with them, I don't know about now, I need to double check, we were the only centre in Dundee that was there. So if somebody went on to one of those platforms and they looked for a co-working space in Dundee, we were their only, but obviously the best option. and it really helps to raise your profile with that. And it taps into that more kind of, I guess, corporate market, where you've got bigger companies that want one bill at the end of the day, rather than having lots of little, you know, a purchase order with the flour mill and one with WeWork and one with somewhere else. They can just go to one central place and have, you know, just Desana sending them an invoice for their 200 members that have used facilities across the entire of the UK. So it's quite an interesting approach to getting people in the door.
And it's quite a premium, really. I mean, it's people say, you know, how long's your lease for, right? Not knowing that it's a license. So, right, first off, we have that discussion about, well, actually, we tend to do licenses. But technically, our shortest, inverted commas, license is 1 hour in a meeting room, right? And it goes from there, doesn't it? And, of course, 1 hour in a meeting room is a premium. 8 hours in a business lounge is a slightly higher price. And then, you know, a week, because we do sometimes week passes.
We do week passes as well.
And then a month and da-da, so on and so forth. So there's actually, we're in the business of space, right? And trying to utilize it and maximize the return on it as best we can, whilst spinning all these plates, trying to satisfy all these different customers, and making it so that they feel that there's value there other than just leasing a space or using a coffee shop, like you said earlier on. So if somebody's looking at co-working, shared space, what are some of the things that maybe we could say that would help, or help them make the decision on what they're doing? From an operating point of view, it is the commercial property. What is it again?
The Commercial Property Investor Podcast.
Thank you. It's the Commercial Property Investor Podcast, right? But ultimately, some people will do rent to rent in our industry, right? So, bearing in mind, there's some that are investing, some are not. That thing about shared space and co-working, for those that aren't too familiar with it, they may be looking at it through the prism of, I've got a 4,000 square foot building and I'm going to do 3,000 square foot of shared and 1,000 square foot of coffee and a meeting room. That's not a model that we're used to.
No.
It's fair to say, right? And actually, as beautiful and nice as it is to have this discussion and to be in a business lounge, he doesn't make as much money as a private office.
Yeah.
That's fair to say.
Steal your line that you always use when we do mastermind, that rent is our biggest income.
Yes, it is.
And all of these are additional incomes that you can have after that. And they're more a value add, both to your product and what's happening in your building.
Yeah.
And to the people that are coming through the door, I guess. So if you are looking to do co-working, I mean, doing it on its own, I think personally would be quite difficult unless you have a massive focus purely on community, but you probably will have to be doing a lot of events alongside that. Yep. So even then, it's not your only income.
And you need a good catchment area.
Yeah. Yep. You need to have a good, and they probably already need to know about it. If not, you're going to be doing a lot of work to tell them about what co-working is.
Yes.
But I would say with this type of, you know, industry when you're coming into, yes, we're in the space business, but we're also very much in the hospitality.
Yep, and sure.
Yes, we're selling space, but we're selling it to people. And that's generally, you know, some people forget that at the end of the day. And when it comes to a model like this, you're really having to put your feet in your feet. Put yourself in the customer's shoes.
Yes.
That's the phrase I was going for.
I mean, not literally shoes, but yeah.
So that you can see it from their perspective, because you've got to try and understand the reason that they're coming to you, so mm-hmm. that you can offer the right, you know, service to them, and you can respond to them in the way that you would want to be responded to, I guess. Because, I mean, that's what I always do it from the customer journey. You know, that's my thing. So it's, yeah, I would always say that it's remembering that you're selling to the people at the end of the day, and that's really what's going to make your product work well. If you forget the reason they're coming in and why they want to use the space and the kind of thought process behind it, you're probably just going to fall flat slightly.
Sure. And so, like you say, if you're doing just shared, that's like absolutely the most critical thing.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot of work that you're going to have, because that is 100% the people at that point that you're bringing together.
Yeah, it's trying to keep them coming back and back and back. It's like having a bar that has a membership, mm-hmm. where you're not just expecting people to walk in off the street. You've got to keep members, you know, all that stuff. So it's quite difficult. The more tangible thing is, by having that space, is the ability, and you've already touched on it, is the ability to effectively charge more for your offices, because everybody has access to that space. It's such a big difference. And when you're doing viewings, it's just...
Yeah, it's that thing that people like to know that they've got the gym membership with the massage chair and everything else, but they probably don't use it as much as they would like to. And it's the same with the office space as well. People, when they're hiring as well, it's really important for them to have the ability to say that their employees have access to all of these things. If it's showers that you've got on site, bike racks, they've got access to meeting rooms if they need privacy. That's really important to them. So it needs to be important to you as well.
Yeah. So when you're looking at the financial model, you think, right, well, if I'm looking at shared space, my income is going to be, this is shared space only, my income is going to be memberships, possibly events, which we haven't spoken about, and meeting rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas actually, when you come at it from the other angle and you're saying, well, I've got an office building where I want to put in that shared space, you've got the same income streams we just spoke about, but you've got that fourth one, that less tangible one, but really important, which is actually adds value to everything else.
Yeah. And that's the thing that, I mean, we had conversations, we went through a bit of a transition where we used to charge everything on a square foot model, and then we went to a per desk, per member, everything was about individuals. And that was a really big shift in price as well. But what we were looking at was they're actually a member of the building. And before, we were looking at it in isolation of when they have an office, they have an office.
Yep.
And now we think that you're a member of the building. So yes, you've got your private space, which is our premium product. We also have the value of the community that you're part of, all of the other services that we provide, the events that we host for you, the local benefits you get at your coffee shop, the meeting room access and everything that is there as part of that, as well as all the shared space. And the shared space just has that additional income stream that comes in, and having those extra bodies in the shared space really changes the dynamic of the building as well, because it's so much easier to view a space when it's got life in it.
Yes.
We've done it before where, you know, we've been doing renovation works and it's difficult to sell when that's going on and you're painting the picture and trying to get them to imagine it alongside you. But if you've got a really nice sort of space with people working and there's a really good atmosphere in
there,
it's selling itself basically, and it's proof that people are coming in and they're enjoying the space. So you can then add that into the value of of the office. So actually subdividing the space to have the maximum amount of private space isn't actually the best thing to do sometimes, because you might not be able to charge it at the same price you would if you actually made them slightly smaller and gave them all of this other kind of more luxurious stuff alongside it.
Yeah. And we've had the luxury now through CPI of being able to see lots of different projects that people are doing. And we have to remember that people have different motivations and different things they're looking for, right? Mm-hmm. So we're talking about hospitality, a business model that has a lot of day-to-day activity going on, operations going on, which might not appeal to some people. But it does derive a pretty good premium. And in some scenarios, that premium can be the difference between actually letting space and the building next door not letting any space because they don't have that vibe going on, that whole community thing. So some people may disregard it as an option, but equally, sometimes it might be the only option if there's loads and loads of office space in your market and you're thinking about differentiating yourself. Maybe you have to consider more about the hospitality and the way that the world of work has changed from where it was. Because when we first got in this business, you know, it really was, there's your space, there's the keys. If you need a hand, just let us know. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, to keep differentiating, to go for more of a premium market, and the way that people are consuming space now, it just seems that hospitality is becoming more and more important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, work is such a big part of everyone's life that, you know, they always say that you see your work colleagues just as much as you see your family. So it's the same if you come to an office space, you're seeing that office, that space, that environment, and the people that are in that space, including anyone that hosts it and the community that's around it. So if you can make that really sticky, then you've got a winning product there and people will pay extra for that because they spend so much of their life there and their time there that they want to enjoy it. They don't want to be in a, you know, a cold room not speaking to anyone all day.
This industry has similar things going on to the restaurant industry right now, where in the restaurant industry, a lot of casual dining has come a cropper. There's been a lot of high profile and less profile casualties in that sector. Whereas those in the premium, not all of them, but some of the premium are doing very well. And those in the, let's just say the fast food sector are also doing reasonably well. It's just that middle bit's being squeezed.
Yeah.
And it seems the same in offices. There's quite a lot of clutter in that casual kind of bit in the middle. Mm-hmm. But in the premium end, and it will depend on different markets, of course, but the premium end seems to be holding itself up. But also, it's fair to say at the end of this bookend, this podcast, is that those that have a more functional product, a value end, are also still doing well. I mean, and that's part of our challenge in our business, isn't it? We've got products at both ends, and our occupancy over the piece is pretty good.
Yeah. But I think that's the thing, is that customers generally know what they want at the end of the day. So sometimes they'll come in and they know that I just want the space to get my stuff and leave it, and that's it. And then you get the other people that want the whole lifestyle, holistic kind of package. And like you say, in the middle, it's like, where do you draw the line? And you tend to get a bit more tangled up in that because there's a lot more room for negotiation, all of that kind of stuff. Whereas if you've got premium product, low-end product, they're very kind this of concise, is. That is what it is, and the customer knows that.
Okay, let's round this up. Is there anything else we could maybe just quickly touch on about business lounge life and that differentiation with co-work and private office? Any other thoughts on that?
Get a sign-in app or something that tells you everyone's names.
Yes.
That's my one tip if I give you anything to do.
Sign-in app with pictures that pop up. So
yeah,
you see
I have a pop-up that comes up on my screen.
Hello, Claire. So nice to see you. You haven't been in for 2 weeks.
Exactly. And it's such a nice little thing because everybody always loves that you remember their name or remember something about them. So having something like that can help you because, you know, your customers do come and go. And as much as you live with them, you will forget their names every now and again. So it does really, really help.
Top tip. Okay, Megan, I think we're going to draw a close to it there. It's been really interesting just to talk through and reflect on some of the stuff we've done here. I do think there's lots of areas that we could probably touch on in the future. If anyone's listening and you have found some value in that conversation, maybe you could just reach out and let us know. We've been talking about doing this, a discussion between you and I for ages, right?
You've been trying to convince me anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Because there's so much experience you've got there from working on the front line and also now working more with our clients in CPI and people just doing loads of different things. So if anyone's got any comments or suggestions for any future episodes, reach out and let us know. So thanks, Megan.
Thanks for having me.